Is this thing on?
All right, let's get this show on the road.
Okay. The Coffee and Carving Show, episode...
Yay.
What is it, number 43? 40,
number 43.
The big four and three. Welcome, everybody, to another installation of our favorite wood carving podcast.
The best in the world.
I feel like a lot of podcasts, at least a couple of podcasts, intro that way.
The best podcast in the world.
Well, don't get too cocky based on your listens last week.
Yeah. I told you I was talking the whole time. That's what happens.
Well, they didn't know that. Anyway, here we are, back again. Wow. I am not drinking coffee. Let me tell you a story. No, let me, before we get going, I'm not drinking coffee. I'm drinking lemon ginger tea with honey. And you say, really? I say, yes, because I'm dying. I got, I shaved my beard and got sick. See, that's what happens. So I have Kleenex handy. I have candies and tea. And we're going to make this the best darn podcast ever.
All right. Wow. Well, there you go. He's sick and he's eating candy and he wonders why he's sick.
Candy so I don't start coughing.
Yeah.
Also, someone turned the heat off in this country because I got blue jeans on, shirt, and my flannels.
I know. I'm
so happy.
Speaking of blue jean and a flannel, my dad... for the first time in years, went with my mom, I think, at least. I don't know if my dad's been to the gym in a while, but dad, if you're watching this, sorry if this is embarrassing, but my mom's texted me this today. Dad's at the gym. He's wearing blue jeans, a flannel, and a baseball cap on a treadmill.
me and your dad, we're the same.
That's Phil Lacasse for you.
That's funny. Are you drinking coffee?
Today I tried something different. I didn't have any ice in the ice maker, so I put some frozen strawberries underneath my espresso machine, and I did a nice long draw, and which means that I let it extract a long time, make a lot of coffee, and we'll see what it tastes like.
I have an idea how that's going to taste.
Oh, it tastes... pretty good, actually. It's not terrible.
I have never even seen, even in the fruity coffee bars, the strawberry coffee.
I don't know if I'd recommend it, but it's tolerable.
Okay. Well, anyway, big thanks to our coffee buyers this week. That goes out to, who do we got? Deb and Bob and Claire. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Bob. And thank you, Claire.
Yeah.
We do appreciate the support and appreciate it very much. We do.
We do. So what you been up to this week?
Well, this past weekend, I spent a considerable amount of time at Rochester, Michigan's Municipal Park at Rochester Arts and Apples. And that's the it came to us in a very funny way. I actually was coming back from last week's art show with my wife and we did so well. I said, you know, it would be nice to do another art show. And I said, next weekend's probably one of the best art shows our state sees every year. And I said, well, one year I actually was able to get in by just calling last minute. Actually, I showed up to the fairgrounds the day of the event and said, hey, is there any way that I can get in this morning? And she said, yeah, we actually had a few cancellations. So I did that again this year. And they let me in. Surprisingly, they had someone drop out.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why were you not going to go?
That's a really good question. You know, to be honest, I've just had less and less of a desire to do events post-COVID. I just going anywhere, traveling to do anything. I just like working from home. I like making the carvings, commissions. I like teaching from home online. And I just decided I was going to do less art shows this year.
Okay, fair enough.
But it was really silly because this art show is 10 minutes away. So I had no excuse. And so that's why I ended up crawling back on my hands and knees, asking if they'd take me, and they did. And, so I had to, prep for a 3-day weekend, and I had about 2 days to prep. So I spent, a couple of hours just running around caffeinated with like chicken with my head cut off, until my wife came in the studio and found a shelf off to the side in my shop that had carving after carving on it. It's funny because she went up to it and I said, "There's nothing up there." And she said, no, I think there might be. And so I'm like, okay, well, shoot yourself, whatever. And she was up there, she was grabbing stuff. And, also suit yourself, not shoot yourself. And that would be really dramatic if I had asked her to kill herself over that. But it's a tumultuous relationship. And so she went up there and she started pulling things down. And I was like, where did this was from COVID, and another carving. This one's really nice. And funny enough, I happened to be calling Doug to ask him a podcast question. So he watched in real time as my wife pulled down. What, maybe 20 plus carvings?
20 carvings. I said, what a ding-a-ling.
Most of them were like 80% done. I mean, it was so cool to, it was like instant inventory that I had, you know, button up, but it was still just awesome. So.
But the fact that you didn't even remember that you had them was the best part.
It's like, right. Yeah. Well, they were from 2 years ago. You know, I was making videos for the school and just piling up carvings on this weird off the normal area of carvings.
Yeah, that was fun. No, I it was good. And you're like, I don't even remember making this.
No, yeah, half of them. I it was just under a weird state of COVID lockdown distress, just carving. Yeah. So. But otherwise, you know, it was a good show. We actually were shocked as to how many people came out and how many sales there were. We, you know, typically on a show like that, a last minute show, you know, you're lucky to sell half of what you would had you been prepared. But we did better than we had done in past years there. So very happy with that and glad that I called last minute. So that kept me occupied. One of the highlights from that, I'll say, and then I want to ask you about your past week.
I can imagine what the highlight is.
Oh, really? I'll tell you first, then you can guess.
Okay,
you tell me. I know what it should be, but it's not. One of the highlights certainly was not you, Doug.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, sorry. No, we'll get to that. I didn't want to burst the bubble there. So you'll do that for me. I made a carving of Thomas Edison and brought it to the show, and some guy came up and said, "Is that Edison?" Well, he said, "That's Edison." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I was actually an archaeologist who worked on uncovering Thomas Edison's childhood home from the ashes. You know, it was collected after years and years of this home burning down. Oakland University, our local university, was hired to dig up artifacts from his wreck of his childhood home. Anyway, long story short, he gave me this book and really fascinating dude, and knew so much about Edison. And it was cool to meet him. That was definitely the highlight. There really wasn't anything else that happened that was interesting at all or eventful. I didn't really see anyone else that I cared about other than my wife.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, Doug, do you have a story to tell?
I do, actually. I went to an art show this weekend.
Yeah.
I took myself to this show somewhere in Michigan, and something, Richmond Hills or something. But what was it? Rochester Mills?
Rochester.
And I went to this art show, and it was really good. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of real... true artist, and I saw you.
Yeah. Well, Doug, I had been working on Doug the last like two or three days as I found out that I was doing the show. Come to the show, Doug. It's a real art show. You get to see real artists, and it will encourage you because, you know, you're awesome and you still haven't figured it out yet. And so you were kind of hesitant, and eventually, apparently, what, your wife talked you into it? No.
Yeah, maybe? She decided that I should go.
Yeah.
So I said okay.
Right, and so you came, and in my head, I pictured you coming, and then us kind of getting to walk around more. But what happened was you came, and then there was kind of an onslaught of busyness. And
so I will set this up by saying, when I got to your booth, you were a superstar. You know, it's so funny that we surround ourselves with wood carvers, right? Our friends are wood carvers. Even if we're not friends, we're always looking at other people's wood carvings, and went to this large show. Mm. You were the wood carver.
Mm-hmm. The only one. Right.
The only one.
Yeah.
And everybody that walked by were like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. And Alec, you should say that you were set up in front of your little tent and you were carving as you were selling and showing.
Yeah.
And people were amazed, mesmerized. They walked by everybody else's tent high speed, and then everybody just stopped dead in front of yours and like, oh, wow. And I got super pumped just from that, seeing the, because like I said, we surround ourselves with wood carvers and wood carving loving people or whatever. But to see the strangers see wood carvings and they were amazed. Like you were a showstopper on the path of
tents. Yeah. Well, it's always helped to help to demonstrate for me as far as like drawing people to the booth. What I don't understand is how people will do art shows and they'll just I don't get how they can just sit there and watch people. I feel like that would make people passerbyers uncomfortable. You know, you're just sort of like staring at them thinking, yeah, you know.
That's right.
Buy my art. Buy my art. Oh, well, I'm doing a spell. Buy it. Buy my art. Ooh, buy my art. You know,
it's like it was being interactive like that. People just loved it.
Well, it gets your eyes off of the people, so you're not freaking them out, and you're just focusing on your work, and then you're present enough so that if they have a question, you can answer it. I like it. So,
but I'll start over though. It was kind of fun because I came in on my own. Again, my wife still, hey, Canada, get your passport game in order. But yeah, my wife still doesn't have her passport, so I came alone. And I drove to this parking lot where I took a shuttle into the show, which is kind of cool. Hopping on an old school bus with a bunch of strangers and then going to the show and coming out that way too. But yeah, in the parking lot, there was this artist there in the parking lot. I didn't tell you about this. And his car was just creeping along. And he said, hey, man, can you tell me how to get my car to go faster? And I said, yeah, well, you can start by removing that big Domino's sign on top.
No way. What? Wait a second.
So now we're talking about artists, okay? And I've been having a lot of fun with this, so. So the joke is really, how do you make an artist car go faster? Just remove the huge Domino's sign on top.
That's horrible.
If you think that one's bad, what's the difference between a pizza and an art degree?
A pizza and an art degree?
Yep.
Oh no. I think I've, yeah, well, go ahead.
A pizza doesn't deliver an art degree. Where's the best place to watch people with art degrees while they're working?
Mm.
Walmart.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Now,
you're going to offend some people who work at Walmart. I know,
this is fantastic. But this is my all-time favorite one because it's actually true.
Mm.
Right? How many artists does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. How many?
10. 1 to change it, and 9 to reassure him about how good it looks. And that's where we started.
Oh,
that is so real. Isn't that true?
It's so
true.
Isn't
that true?
Yeah.
Reassure me. Tell me I'm good. I'm, yeah. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
But anyway, all that to say was it was true. I came into your show there, and it was kind of fun taking the shuttle and then just walking into this art show. And there was a couple hundred booths, tents, whatever. And it's fantastic. Saw all kinds of good stuff. But like I said, as far as wood carving, you were it, and you were the show. So it was interesting.
Which is definitely sad for them on the front of wood carving that there isn't more. You know, it was surprising to me because the last time I was in Rochester Arts and Apples, at least as far as I can remember, there were other carvers that were at least a couple of other carvers. And there was definitely one who did faces. And I don't know if he just didn't do well there or what, but yeah, he hasn't been there. So it's sad. It's disappointing for sure. Disappointing for me at least, but
I was super inspired after being there.
Were you?
I sure was. It was, and I haven't come to a conclusion in my mind yet because I've been mulling it over and ruminating on it. What is art?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Cough break. It was interesting that when looking at everyone's thing, there was no, I guess I don't have my words right, but to say just art, but there was no goofy art. It's serious art.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it was funny. Like, well, let's back up what I've been up to this week.
Sure.
Because I did some YouTube videos. I've been carving tiny stuff. And I did these little square apples.
Yep.
Tiny little square apples.
I love those.
Right?
They're but so the week, cute.
But the week before, I had done these little books.
Yeah, very right? better.
Little books. Oh,
I love them.
They're cute as a button. But to make them not just quirky, I thought, let's, on my own time, I went back and I supersized my little ones.
Yes. And
I made them huge.
Right? I love it. Yeah, that's awesome.
That said, I did the same with the books. And then I took the books and then I made a big book. And I put a...
Yeah, I love it.
A bookworm.
The bookworm.
Okay. So now, this is what my conclusion of these two things. I would say this could be art.
Yeah.
This is goofy, and you wouldn't call it art in that sense of an art show. This could be a standalone piece of art.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you add the goofy into it, it's out. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Is there something to that? And I think we've talked about this before, even when I was talking about painting my faces versus not painting my faces. And there's something I have to figure out in that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting topic of conversation. Like, what makes something art, and why is serious art serious looking oftentimes? Right.
Or is it the customer that we're dealing with and not the form of art? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's still art. Right. Everything you create is art. Okay. But in that art show thing, it's pretty serious.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. I don't know why that is either. I guess, you know, we've talked about this before, but you know, I know a few, specifically there's one portrait painter who mentioned that when she's painting a face, for instance, she's not looking at making it smile or frown or trying to allude to any emotion. She wants to make the face as ambiguous as possible, and she thinks that helps to convey encourage participation from the viewer. So when somebody looks at a painting, they think a number of things could be true about that person, and that makes them interested in it, except for just writing it off like, oh, that person's happy, cool.
Right. Right. Well, I heard from another well-known woodcarver who does beautiful Santas, like large Santas, and he did a show early in his career, and All the booths around him were selling out, and he wasn't selling any.
Yeah.
And the whatever the leader, the creator of the art show came to him and said, I was afraid this would happen to you. Hmm. And he's like, well, why is that? And he said, all of your Santas are too happy. They're all smiling too much.
Yeah.
And that was a downside to selling in that target audience. And that's what I'm saying is the art. Maybe it's the target audience that we should be talking about and not saying art or not art.
Right. Right. Well,
or the money audience.
Right. Yeah. The audience that wants to buy art. It's funny. Yesterday, coming back from Arts and Apples, a lady of a friend of the art shows for sure. She comes to many of the ones in Rochester, and she has a couple of my larger pieces now. She bought one at the show this past week, and I told her that I'd drop it off to her. She's a single woman, and you know, a smaller lady, and this is a giant, heavy carving. Larger than life size bust of a Native American guy. And I brought it over there with my wife yesterday, 2 days ago. And as we got to her house, you know, I knew that she had an affinity for Native Americans, and she was Native American because she told me that. And she would always walk around with this golden ring that was sculpted, solid gold, and it was like of a plains chief, like a beautiful, detailed ring that somebody had carved out of gold. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, obviously she has some affinity towards the Native American art. But when we got to her house, first of all, beautiful home. There was at the front door, you'd walk into the entryway, and there was a beautiful painting of a Native American person. And, you know, I was shocked at the detail. I mean, this is like museum quality framing too. I mean, it's old antique paintings with, you know, those beautifully carved frames. And look over to your left, and there's a beautiful room, you know, wood floors, herringbone brick fireplace. And all around the room was this amazing museum quality giant, you know, 4 foot by 6 foot, 4 foot by 5 foot, 4 foot by 6 foot, huge paintings of like Western scenes. And they were all framed with these huge, huge, huge bombastic gold leaf carved frames that looked like they could be in some fine arts museum. In some cases, I mean, they were from fine arts museum or, you know, museums or art museums. And this whole entire home was like this. It was just painting after painting, sculpture after sculpture, you know, original artifacts from native sites. I mean, I could not believe bronzes, you know, antique paintings, even her chandelier was cast from solid bronze. She had to reinforce this. She had to have contractors come out. The electrician couldn't hang it. They had to have contractors come out to reinforce the ceiling to hold this beautifully sculpted chandelier with the intricacy from somewhere in France, from some famous artist. I mean, just in the same way that maybe you were encouraged by going to the art show, I was so encouraged to see someone, number one, just curate such beautiful Western. It didn't, it could have been cluttered. You know, you could have walked through there and felt like this is kind of gross. Like there's just so much crap in here. But walking around, it was so beautifully decorated and so nice. Number one, it just made me think, you know what? Art can make a space so beautiful. And number two, just that someone would have that level of interest in the same kind of stuff that I have interest in. Mm-hmm. And like the way that things look, the way that I like the way things look, and just give me hope for making art, right? Because she had my art amongst all that beautiful art, and it looked so nice with just this beautiful background. It elevated what I had, and it was validating. So but to your point, you know, most of the faces that she had, portraits, because she loves portraits, they weren't of people cheesing it up, you know, hey, just another day in the plains, you know. It was just, they're serious, you know, stoic people in real world, real life situations. So
Well, that's what I was saying. Like the difference between the bookworm and like, well, like a green man.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But these are things that I have to figure out in my mind because these are all things that I've done in within the same 3 or 4 days. It's just yeah. It's just a scattering of strange carvings. But anyway,
yeah,
I was super encouraged. And again, to your credit too, I witnessed a few of your sales a lot of people that came in were like, well, he has a couple of pieces. Well, he has a couple of pieces. Mm-hmm. These aren't, if they buy once and they like your work, they come back. Mm-hmm. They almost make it a ritual. Mm-hmm. If you're at that show to buy a piece of your work.
Yeah.
Like yeah. You have collectors who collect now Alec Lacasse carvings.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah. It is cool. And you know, it's like you forget about that. And then, so once a year, twice a year, or for people that do a lot of art shows, maybe more than that. I don't, but you get reminded that, you know, people care about what you do still, you know, and you're not just alone, amongst your other wood carving buddies in this world of carving, that everyday people can sort of, see it. Not every people, or maybe not even most people, but people that already appreciate art are going to see what you're doing and appreciate the hard work that you put into it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is very much, you know, that light bulb joke that you made definitely rings true because
it does.
You know,
it really does.
You need a whole bunch of people to tell you that you're doing the right thing before you start.
Well, and again, the fun thing that I thought too is that in a world, like you said, or like I said, we surround ourselves with wood carving buddies on Instagram and YouTube, and you think everybody's a wood carver.
Right.
One of the largest shows, one of the best shows in America, you're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And like in my surrounding area here, I don't know any wood carvers.
Right.
So the population is so big. So we think there's so many of us, but then there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the people who are listening to this show.
Right.
Like from all over the world. Yeah. Because it's not as concentrated as we think. And there is room for everybody and more.
Right. So, yeah. True. And the ones that do it to a really high degree, you know, they're so busy with work and they're not promoting what they do all that well. In many cases, they're working for other people or they're, you know, working for themselves doing installation work and they're not spreading the good news of carving other than just by virtue of making good stuff, which I think is good. I think that's probably the best way to spread something is just make good work.
Yeah.
And that's why part of me, when you go off on these tangents about art or not art, I don't know if I care as so long as you are inspired to keep making the awesome stuff that you make, because whatever you're thinking about, it's good because you keep making good stuff. So I kind of feel like you're making art, whether you know, whether Doug knows it or not, he's making artwork.
No, you know what I mean? Yeah.
As long as he keeps doing it.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm like, I always say, like I'm just scattered everywhere. In fact, I even brought home stones that you kindly gave me to pursue a little bit of rock carving on the side. And like,
you
never get really good at something unless you focus on one thing. And like I said, if I really love the faces and the carving, but then I disappoint the YouTube viewers. If I do that,
right.
So, right. It's not accessible to everybody as a beginner, but anyway, that's
just, it's fascinating stuff to talk about, like what makes something more artsy and what more sellable and what makes something, more, you know, it's funny. I couldn't really find a lot looking on the internet for this sort of conversation. You know, I was actually, before this art show, just sort of curious, you know, my brain was thinking on this whole topic of like how to make art, you know, and sales of art and sculpture and all this stuff. And there's just not a ton of information on the internet, as far as I can see, that speaks to this question of like, what do people want to see? What do people like? Which is fine because ultimately if you make stuff that you really like, other people will like it. But the conversation is worth having about like, you know, people's psychology around art. What do they want to buy? Anyway, it's fun, at least for me, to listen to stuff mm-hmm. like this. So,
well, there you go.
But I wanted to say really quickly before we move on, did you have something?
Oh, we're not moving on yet. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead then. Do you have something to add to this topic of art?
No, but I do have something to add to this topic of you and me together.
Yeah.
I came home and I told my wife, Alec is you. And you are Alec.
What?
So I talked, your mother was at the show, and we talked about you too. And I said, Alec is an engager. He's a talker. You know, Alec and myself, we got to get out of the booth for a little bit, and we just kind of walked around together around the show. And whereas if I see a salesman or the artist, like, don't look at him. Don't make eye contact, because he's going to engage. Alec, like, beelines it to the guy to start a conversation and discuss things. Like, I'll be four or five booze ahead, and I'll look back and go, where'd Alec go? And he's out there talking away to somebody else. And that's exactly what my wife does.
Yeah.
So our personalities are different. Whereas I'm not an engager. I am introverted with little bouts of extrovertism, but overall I'm an introvert, but you're an extrovert, and you engage. You want to talk to everybody and learn why they like this and why they make that. And I'm like, don't make eye contact. They want to talk to me.
I did notice that about you. And at first it kind of surprised me, but then I realized, you know, just because you are a really good presenter doesn't mean that you have to be like this big extrovert all the time, you know, always wanting to talk to people.
Oh, and when I say you're like my wife is more introverted than I am.
Oh, really?
Yes, but she'll talk to the cashier at the grocery store for 10 minutes, but then has to go home and decompress.
Yeah, I don't know why. People don't know what people are surprised when they find out I'm an extrovert. Well, at least that's how I think. You know, somebody messaged me.
Because you work by yourself all the time.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And
I didn't even know it was a question, but then somebody texted me 2 days ago after the art show saying, hey, my friends and I were trying to decide if you're an extrovert or an introvert. What are you? You know, I was like, I don't know. I think I'm an extrovert. And so, I don't know. Apparently that doesn't read as obvious, but.
Yeah. Well, it was funny when I went to leave the show, you're like, you're leaving already? I'm like, yep, time's up.
It was funny. You can definitely tell you hit your
I hit the wall.
You hit your wall.
Like, hit the enough. Wall and nope, we're done.
Enough art. Enough stuff.
And ice cream.
Oh, you didn't even get an ice cream, you jerk. You missed out big time.
I gave you a very good reason why I did not take you up on it.
I would absolutely love to hear if there are any older adult males who feel the same way as Doug. He said to me, when I asked him if he wanted an ice cream, do I look like a child? And I did think about it, and it is a visual
You had ice cream on the brain for about the last hour before I left. And like, you want to get ice cream? You want to get ice cream? I'm like, bro, I'm 50.
You didn't want to be seen just licking a cone?
Like, wait, you want to go down to the licorice shack there and get a little gummy bear?
I've never once in my life thought about that, like being an age restricted thing.
I know it's not. It's just my little thing that it has never crossed my mind that, you know what I want right now? Ice cream cone. never has crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Now, coffee would be my ice cream. That's fair.
There you go. Yeah.
And well, again, we went to a nice coffee shop booth.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And you talked their ear off.
Yeah, I did.
My coffee would have been half gone.
I am my grandpa too, though. I mean, I'm sad if I'm not talking to strangers. You know what? Part of it is too, is I remember hearing. I think about this almost every time I'm in public. Is there's some like NPR or some news story about how there are things you can do to build confidence in yourself, and the number one thing at the top of these 10 things to do was talking to strangers, a confidence building experience, because you show yourself that no one's a stranger and that you can talk to anyone. And most of people's anxiety comes from an inability to present themselves. And so I feel that anxiety. And so a lot of times I'm fighting against that. You know, I think growing up in a very sheltered rural environment and being homeschooled forces you to either try to be extroverted, or you just are afraid of people constantly. So I think maybe I'm still trying to push against that discomfort.
I'm not afraid of people in any sense of the word.
Right.
I would be bothered.
Yeah.
I don't know. But no, I'll talk to people, like I said. But I just don't seek it out like you did.
I think it's I went way too deep, way too fast. But I think it's me trying to prove to myself still that I can do it. You know, I can talk to people. Come here. Yeah. Whereas you're over there, like, you know, you're good. It's all right. Yeah, I've had enough.
We got this. But
just a cranky old man is all.
So you've been up to something else too. Again, I thought we could touch on, because you've been playing games with the your videos.
Yes, playing games. I have. Yeah. Well, my brother is a budding YouTuber and is so jazzed. He was showing me his stats yesterday, and he was so jazzed about making videos that he said, he's constantly giving me new ideas for carving videos. And he was like, yo, you should try. And it's almost too much. He's like, use a shovel. You should make a video about how you get your wood. You should come up with a video about how you carve with a blindfold on, you know? And then he had one though the other day that I thought was pretty good. He said, you know, you should try and make a video to kind of prove people wrong that you need to have really good tools to be a good carver. Yep. And he said, you should just like sharpen a butter knife or something. And that one stuck out to me. He gave me other ideas, like sharpen a screwdriver, sharpen, you know, a file. But I had a couple of extra butter knives floating around on the shop wall magnets, for working with clay. I can't remember the name of that English, sculptor who we follow on Instagram, the big muscly guy. But, he talks about using his favorite tool being, these butter knives for shaping clay. So anyway, I had an extra one floating around. And so I sharpened it. I put an edge on it and I polished it and tried to do carving with it. And, actually I started with a video on, just using one chisel. So I actually, here, I don't know where I put it, but
the macaroni tool.
And I constantly forget what this thing is called, but it was a macaroni tool. This one, it's a little for the viewers at home. It's a square kind of shaped tool. If you think, I don't know if they can see it, but anyway,
it's a U-shaped three-sided chisel.
Right. And so I did a carving video with that, just using that, and I gave myself a 20-minute deadline, and.
Yeah.
I challenged myself to not use sandpaper, because I guess if you're going to make a video on only carving with one tool, you can't use other things. So, then of course the butter knife came in, and it had a bend in it. You can see in this video, there's a bend in the blade, but it actually kind of worked to my advantage because it acted almost like a gouge a little bit. So I was able to. I was able to make a wood spirit with the sharpened butter knife, and then I could scrape the surface of the wood to almost sand it. So I didn't have to use
that again. Do that again by the microphone. Get some ASMR.
Yeah. It was a nice. Honestly, I did think this is kind of a nice sound.
Okay, everybody, just close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Today we're going to carve a wood spirit. with a butter knife. Okay. Anyway, I love the idea, and I love one time I always wanted to try it, but I didn't want to try it because it'd be copying. But our buddy Kevin Coates out in the East Coast here, he made a wood spirit with an axe head. Just
and just that's crazy.
And yeah, and the reason I was saying I want to talk about that because I have separated my tools from the basswood figure type carving and the cottonwood. So now all the tools behind me are just for carving larger, not just cottonwood, but larger wood spirits and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the tools on my desk here are just for my figures and handheld carving.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I'm going to buy gouges and V tools and a set, what do I actually use? When I look at the tools behind me, I basically use number 11s, number 9s, number 5, and V-tool. So that just, if I had 5 tools,
yep,
everybody sees 40 behind me, but it's, those five tools are can do everything.
Yep.
In fact, I've even gotten away from using the V tool by using a gouge. And then if I want to sharpen it up, I'll just run my knife in the middle to make that center. So,
yeah, no, it's pretty awesome what you can do with less tool, you know, and it's good to challenge yourself, I think. And, to be honest, I wasn't sure what would happen. I don't really do anything like that with just one tool. I've never done anything with just one tool. I mean, I have with just one knife, but never, you know, just a random object that I sharpened. So that was, I was pleasantly surprised with how much I could do with just the knife, the butter knife. And it's a good, again, it's kind of nice to just remind yourself that the skill is in the eye and in the hand, and it's not in your tool. So, don't focus so much on the tools, focus more on, you know, good tools. And, you know, I did pick something that, you know, a knife is a good thing to have. You can do more with the knife than you can with most tools. So as you've proven 100 times over or 300 times over in your videos, right, you can do a lot with just a knife. So,
but I would also caution against telling people to do what you just did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because then you get the knife snobs telling you that the temper in your butter knife will not hold up.
And, yeah, YouTubers.
What's the hardness rate? What's the Rockwell hardness of that butter knife?
Yep. Yeah. I do have to say, though, I pranked my wife at the beginning of the video and told her that I used our brand new gifted fancy silverware. I had to grind it up. So this is that. I have to play this.
Just because we have an extra set.
You should have, like, thrifted a butter knife.
I don't have time for that. It's YouTube.
You're recording me right now. You didn't do that?
Nope. I had no phone in the shit.
Oh, that would have been good.
Got her!
So anyway, so there's a YouTube video coming out in the morning, tomorrow morning. So what is that? The 14th of, and I did stand in the, I had to edit most, I had what, 45 minutes of video. And I went back to my old camera, my old big camera, big rig. And, I was in the way of that video. It got cut down to like a 4-minute video. So.
Well, I told you we were missing the back of your neck lately, but it's coming back, is it?
No, I literally, like I said, to edit it out of 40 minutes, I had to edit out like most of the video to get myself out of the way. So I'm not in the way most of the time, but.
Well, for people who get a heads up, or this may come out at the same time, but I'm kind of editing the video that I made at your place with you sharpening.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah. I'm going to edit the life out of it as well.
Are you?
Because how boring. It's a sharpening, it's a sharpening video, but how boring to see every little turn on the 35 minutes worth of holding a tool on the sandpaper or whatever. So
yeah.
I'm going to edit it down and just say, a few moments later.
Yeah.
Because it's too much. But
I'm not as trained a YouTuber or a captivator.
It's what it took. I'm just, I was not dissing you. I'm just saying you just can't present that.
Right. Like, it's good to make videos and watch them back and suffer through yourself so you know what students have to put up with when they're watching you. So all of you students who are listening, I understand now, and I'm going to try and get better. And when you see me in my next class, I'm not going to bore anyone ever again. No.
So we should just touch on really quick before we move on to our mailbag. But some of the comments on last week's video were like, Alec, your mic just about blew my eardrums out. Doug needs a new microphone. His volume sucks. A couple others that went away, but we're still learning.
A lot of people saying, you know, hey, old man, get your face next to that microphone.
Yep. And Alec is too close to his mic and you're too far away. And, you know.
And they were right.
They were right. But another one was like, you guys must be getting really popular because I'm seeing ads every 2 minutes. Well, you know what?
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works whatsoever. And also the fact that if you're getting ads every 2 minutes, we're not seeing the profits.
Yeah. So. We wish. Can I tell you a secret though?
What's that?
All right. So I made a carving for a guy in stone and he waited for it for 2 years because I didn't have this special pink alabaster that he needed until I found it. And if he's listening to this, I'm writing myself out, but he went to pick it up at this last art show. And by the time he had come to pick it up, I had accidentally sold it to someone. So I had it in a big pile of inventory and someone came by, picked it up. And when they left, I realized, I brought his carving to the show. So I had to look through all of my stone and I realized I don't have a single pink stone in my possession. So I go, it's fine. Calm down. Google pink alabaster. Nothing. There's not a single pink alabaster stone available on the internet for sale, any sculpture house, anywhere. So I had to plan my next trip to get alabaster until I was looking through some stuff, cleaning up the shop the other morning, and I found an old Native American carving I had done in stone, but never finished in pink alabaster. So all I have to do is deface this head, get rid of all the hard work that I put into this stone, all so that I can try with a reference photo of the original carving, try and mimic myself so that this guy will not know that I sold his original carving. No, he's already gotten a picture of, he's already approved, he loves.
So you just outed yourself big time.
Oh, yeah. So.
I won't tell no one, but you know what? That's
my secret.
You know what
works? Don't tell anyone.
Sticky notes. Not for sale.
Right, on the carving. Well, in fairness, I'm going to try to make this one better than the first so that if this ever happened again, people know that they're getting something better than they originally
paid for. I would challenge you to clean out that workshop you have there and maybe organize a little bit because I'm still laughing that you pulled 20 carvings off the shelf that you didn't know were there. Yeah. Like you could have.
No, it was
in July.
Shocking.
July, you could have actually went to the grocery store instead of foraging that summer foraging, you know?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm silly, but
let's.
Yeah. It's good to have a wife. I recommend it. If you're a single guy out there and you're on the edge of getting married with somebody and you've got, you know, who knows where these carvings are hidden, man. you won't know.
If she'll find the money.
She'll find it. So she'll find that money. It's so funny because, you know, I used to dread waking up really early to do anything. And now that I'm married, I like there's something internal that fires up in you to provide where you're just like, well, let's go. Let's get to work. Come out here. I'm excited to get things done because you're not just doing it for yourself anymore.
My jealousy for your lifestyle will change now as I watch you.
Oh, she's a. I don't know if I said this last podcast, but I'll say it again, and then I won't say it ever again. But my buddy was and I were talking, and he said, "Man, must be nice to work for yourself." I said, "Oh, man, it's pretty good, but you know, it's like having a really inconsistent boss who sometimes like really hates your guts, and then other times just like way too lackadaisical with you." And he knew what I meant right away. And he said, "Well, you'll have a new boss in a couple of weeks." Right before I got married. So, yeah, it's all good.
We can do
that. Anyway, we got something to do, don't we?
Mailbag. Altoids.
Brought to you by.
Do you ever eat Altoids?
I have a very big affinity for them, and I have a sugar-free version of them that I like a lot. Yeah. Dude, it's not a shame.
Is it healthier?
It's a shame. It's healthier.
Is fake sugar better than real sugar?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's stevia.
Okay.
It's not that
if it's true. Game.
Yeah. Well, fact check us, internet.
Does Altoids YouTube use will stevia anyway, I'm or sure. aspartame?
Altoids makes Altoids doesn't make it. It's another product that comes from Trader Joe's, and it's $2 for a tin. And it's I don't remember what they're called. I wish I could, but you'll see them when you go to the register at your local Trader Joe's.
Sorry, mailbag. So did you say mailbag?
Mailbag.
Oh no, mailbag.
Well, a lot of
we got a big old bag of mail for y'all. There's only a couple.
This one from Billabong. It says here, pack it up with these athletic picks. Wait, sorry.
Three times over with laser engravers if I accepted every offer from laser engravers.
Yeah, if we were smart, we would be all over those laser engravers, that's for sure. We could laser all kinds of things. We could laser our lives in there into something good. Daryl Doss says, "Good evening, Dudge and Alec. Forgot how to read. A few years ago, I shot my first buck and turned the meat into jerky using Doug's recipe, and got and my kids and I loved it. And my kids and I loved it. Sorry, I thought he." Gosh, that turned dark in my head for a second. I wanted to do something with the antlers. My wife isn't the biggest fan of trophy mounts, so I was able to get a couple of Helvy blades and turn the antlers into handles. I'm pretty excited about how they turned out. If you guys could pick a handle material or blade, what would you choose? What would it be, wood or another root?
I'm
glad you're back, Daryl.
If I was speaking for myself, I am.
All right. Nice handles.
What is my favorite handle? You go.
We don't know. I've not given this any thought. For me, I don't really care as long as it's durable. I will say I thought it would be cool to make a handle for a carving tool out of G10.
It's a lightweight handle, but bully
pull strong. I still want to do that.
I handle these Helbies with the birch. I like simple birch. Ooh. Walnut's nice too. I put walnut on that one, and these OCC tools are walnut. So, but I don't like.
Yeah. So you like the basic, you're kind of a basic birch guy. Basic
birch, but I don't like.
Doug's a basic birch.
Anything but oil on my handles. In fact, if I buy a tool that has a varnish or something shiny, I will sand it off post haste, fast as fast can be. Get that shine off there.
There you go. There you go.
The antler is a fun, very fun thing to do, a fun novelty. I just don't know that if you want to be consistent, that you can ever maintain consistency across your tools.
Right. Yeah, you'd have the knob to contend with, and it should be good looking, but I don't know. I guess if I don't know. I would take a knife like that for sure. Don't get me wrong. Steve says, "Hey, Doug and Alec, I got hooked on carving just about a year ago after watching one of Doug's videos. I told you you were a crack dealer of carving, Doug." He says here, "I got hooked on carving just about a year ago after watching one of Doug's videos. I carve quite a lot now, more than I want to. In fact, I cannot stop. Every waking hour I carve. My wife has left me. My kids are gone. All I have is this knife and this piece of wood. I appreciate Doug's willingness to share his skills with rookies like me and many others. Alec, what can I say? Your work is aspirational and your enthusiasm for art is contagious. Love the podcast, guys." He says pod and then space cast. "Keep it up, guys. P.S. I think Doug should be an honorary American." I would have to disagree with him. Carrie says, "Hi, just wanted to circle back on my email below since I haven't heard." I just started reading a spam comment. Somebody very kindly here is offering us audio help, which is a very subtle way of saying that our audio sucks. Gravy? Yeah. "Hey, guys, glad to hear from you again. Welcome back. Looking forward to another great season of podcasts. I have a question about pillars. When printing, I know you guys usually transfer a flat image by wrapping. However, if I a project as a flat image on a round surface, it distorts and looks good from one point of view. So their question is basically, how do you do that without making the angles weird on a curved surface? So they said they were probably overthinking it and maybe it'd be easier to just do three-dimensional wave carvings.
I did analog. That.
Yeah. Easy answer. No, I'm just kidding. Just don't try that anymore. It's like that joke where the guy goes to the doctor and says, "It hurts when I do this." And the doctor says, "Okay, well, don't do this." the basically just don't print on, there is probably some truth to that though. It is easier to first think of an object as having two sides, you know, a three-dimensional object. So you have your front plane and your side profile plane. And then as you move into the project, then you start thinking of other planes. So like the three-quarter view, eighth views, all that stuff. So, maybe stick to starting with, if you're going to draw something out, maybe stick to drawing it out on a square thing. If you can, before it's turned into a pillar. Really, to be honest, there are probably people who are, well, for a fact, there are people who are much better at answering this question, than I. I'm not doing architectural carving. I'm not carving on pillars very often. And I'm sure I'll come to that challenge eventually, but, yeah, and maybe you are kind of being a little bit too particular in this case as well. Maybe you can get away with using the templates on three-dimensional or the round shapes, and the distortion is maybe a little over amplified in your head. Maybe it's not as big of a deal. That's my guess, but again, not an expert. That's just from one bro to another, an armchair expert to another. So, but thanks for the comment, Gravy, and that's it. That's it for today. So I think it's time we usher in our new topic.
A new topic of why did Alec
wear his maybe
wedding ring on his right hand?
Oh, it's not. Left. It's on my left. It's just everything's turned around. Oh, these are different rings. This is a snake ring. Scary. Ooh. And then this is different. Just a different ring. What you've been listening to, what you've been taking in lately, Doug?
I'm going to go music this week. I did not rediscover this band. I knew of this band for the last decade or so, but nobody else really knows about them. and they're a super fun band. I love it when I find a new album, and that's what this is about, is their newest album that I just discovered. And it's one of those ones that you listen to from the beginning to the end, like a story, like an experience, like a Pink Floyd, like an Arcade Fire. It's quirky, weird, and you never love them the first time you listen to them. You ever get those? The first listen.
Oh, yeah. Like, all the good ones are different. That way.
It's okay. But anyway, it's a Canadian band called Besnard Lakes. And I found them years and years ago. But their newest album was called Besnard Lakes is the Last Great Thunderstorm Warning. It's a strange title. And it's a strange band, but it is very alternative. I think if you like Arcade Fire or something, it's kind of got the tone of that, but just different. But great. Almost going to mute that one. Real great band, and highly, highly recommended. And again, very pretty much unknown, but they've been around for forever, and really good. So I recommend that album because I can just sit there and listen to it right straight through and just love it. So, yeah.
Oh. Interesting stuff. Yeah. I like when you pick music because I can listen to music while I'm
driving. My wife knows that album inside out. Doing other stuff as well from two doors over from me listening to it in here.
Oh, wow.
Very loud.
Yeah. All right. For me, it's been Braiding Sweetgrass. It's a book that I've had suggested to me in the last 2 weeks. I think maybe three times. I'm trying to do our old president. Braiding Sweetgrass is a book by Robin Wall Kimmerer. Anyway, she didn't pick her name, and it's an interesting one. I don't know. I'm gonna try to get through it. I'm a day in. I'm sure it's great. And apparently it's about indigenous wisdom, scientific knowledge, and the teachings of plants. So, yeah, cool. I don't know what it will be like, but I will read it. That's mine for the week. I shouldn't pick anything I don't know anything about.
This far on that, so.
So. That's right.
This is the part of the podcast where we say goodbye until next week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And remember, there you go.
Take your vitamins. Thank you.